Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Kicking into your holiday season. Well, happy holidays, everybody, and welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio show. It is Sunday Night's Main Event. We thank you for joining us. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's a solo week, so I've got a stocking full of guests to get you through this festive edition of the program. First up, a solo show means it's triple threat time. And the segment this week will be with Mike Sempervivi from WrestlingObserver.com and my favorite wrestling recapper from 411mania.com, Larry Zonka. We'll take a look back at the week that involved a very interesting Wednesday Night War that was bookended by more boring WWE programming on Monday and Friday. Then Dave Meltzer will pop in to give us an update on some very interesting contract details with Marty Scurll, Killer Kross, the former Sin Cara, and what is going on with all the rumors about Edge potentially returning to the ring. We will get the scoop on Adam Copeland and what is happening. Plus, the hobbling man known as Bartender Dave will join me via the telephone in the second hour of the show. As many of you know, Dave broke his foot a couple months ago and has been laid up watching far too much wrestling on TV for anyone's good. So we'll get an injury update on him, and along with that, we'll find out what he's been liking over the past couple months. He will be here next week, though. He assures me the doctors will allow him to leave his house to do our best and worst edition of the show. And of course, to keep with the Christmas spirit, instead of feedback this week, the final segment will be dedicated to your wrestling Christmas wishes via what you wrote on our Facebook and Twitter pages, as I asked the staff for theirs as well, which I'm going to dish out all through tonight's show when we go to break. And that's what we're going to do right now, taking a break and coming on back to kick things off with a look at the week of news in pro wrestling. You're listening to the holiday edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, and with the Christmas and New Year's season here, of course, there's going to be some changes to your wrestling viewing schedule, so I wanted to take the first bit of the news to let you know what's on and what's off. And yes, first of all, on Raw tomorrow night, it's happening on the USA Network. However, it was taped this past week, so here's what you're in for. Kevin Owens versus Mojo Rawley, Bobby Lashley taking on Cedric Alexander, Drew McIntyre versus Zack Ryder, Ricochet versus Tony Nese, Alexander Black taking on a jobber, AJ and the OC versus Randy Orton and the Viking Raiders, Rusev versus No Way Jose, oh boy, and Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio for the U.S. title. Aside from perhaps that last match, this is certainly skippable this week, as it is most week. I'm sure Rey and Seth is going to be okay, and there is going to be an angle that seems to lead to Samoa Joe getting back into the ring, so keep an eye out for that. But honestly, go spend some time with your family and don't bother. Maybe wrap some Christmas gifts. Actually, why don't you fill out the Sunday Night's Main Event survey? Because the best and worst surveys are going to be due by the end of Raw tomorrow night. So if you want to get in, put Raw on, and then we've got, I think, 36 questions or something like that for you for your choices of best of the year and worst of the year. These can be found at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So that's something to do while you're watching what looks to be a very average/below average episode of Raw tomorrow night. Now, on next week's show, that's Monday, December the 30th, and by that I'm talking about Raw and not talking about this program, we're going to get the Lana Lashley wedding. Shame that we're going to be taping our worst of episode the day before that, because that could have factored in. As for the Wednesday Night War, well, there won't be one this week, as AEW will not have a show on Christmas night, but NXT will present a taped show, actually kind of an interesting one. For the next 2 weeks, WWE taped three matches after SmackDown. So we've got Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Jack Gallagher, Dominik Dijakovic versus Bronson Reed, and then Keith Lee and Leo Rush taking on Tony Nese and Damian Priest. Then there were also a couple matches taped at Full Sail last week for this week's show, including a Roderick Strong North American Title Open Challenge, which is answered by Austin Theory, making his NXT debut. Now, funny enough, Theory won the Evolve title in a three-way match that included Roderick Strong. Also debuting on the show is Evolve's Shotzi Blackheart, who takes on Bianca Belair. Kind of strange that they're going to be debuting these two talents on an episode that is sure to be very poorly rated. On the New Year's Day edition of NXT, we're going to get the teams revealed for the 2020 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, and they'll also be doing NXT's year-end awards as well. The next live episode of NXT will be on January 8th, 2020. Now, although AEW won't have a show this week, they will be live on January 1st. This is when we're supposed to get Moxie's response to Jericho, MJF laying down the stipulation for Cody, Riho defending her title against Chris Statlander, and Darby Allin will get his rematch versus Cody that night as well. SmackDown schedule will not be interrupted, and next week we'll get a three-way number one contenders match between Daniel Bryan, The Miz, and Baron Corbin, with the winner facing The Fiend at the Royal Rumble. None of those options are good. But if somehow, someway, you don't get enough WWE over the holidays, you can also ring in the new year by watching Roman Reigns in a match, as Fox announced that Fox's New Year's Eve with Steve Harvey, live from Times Square, will feature a WWE match with Roman Reigns in it. Well, that's unfortunate for Roman, having to work New Year's Eve. On WWE Backstage, it was announced that The New Day and The Street Profits signed extensions with the WWE. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, Dana Brooke also revealed that she signed a five-year deal with WWE as well. Sin Cara, that's George Arias, announced on his social media that he has changed his name to Cinta de Oro. We'll talk more about the Sin Cara situation and his contract and the 90-day no-compete and AAA and all of that stuff with Dave Meltzer later. We're also going to talk about this next gentleman with Dave. Killer Cross finally got his release from Impact Wrestling, and MLW quickly announced he'd be wrestling at their February 1st tapings in Philadelphia. Now, we reported last week that Colt Cabana left Ring of Honor. Well, you can catch him on AEW Dark on Tuesday night, where you'll be hearing him as the guest commentator. In an interview with TalkSport, Cody Rhodes also commented this week on a couple of other free agents. In regards to Marty Scurll, he said, "Anything he does," meaning Marty, "in the next few weeks or months, I wouldn't look at as permanent for him. He's very much testing the waters here and there, and that's pretty much all I can say as far as Marty goes." In regards to Luke Harper, Cody said, "He would be great as a part of AEW, and when you hear that he's asked for his release or he's left, that's a name you definitely think about and the next steps for sure. So I think he's going to flourish with what he does next. He's very special." As we mentioned last week, the NWA's next pay-per-view is happening on Friday, January 24th, and it's officially called Hard Times. The show's taking place at their regular home at the GPB Studios in Atlanta, and you know, I just put this in the news pack because between Cody running a company, NXT announcing the Dusty Classic 2020, and now NWA naming their pay-per-view Hard Times, Dusty Rhodes is more influential in the modern day than when he was actually alive. Like this, his legacy is just flourishing all of a sudden. The AEW Revolution pay-per-view takes place on Saturday, February 29th at the Wind Trust Arena in Chicago. It also sold out this week in less than an hour. And finally, last week we talked about the possibility of the Usos answering the Viking Raiders open challenge on the pay-per-view, and were unsure as to what the status of the Usos was. Well, we have our answer this week, as a Florida jury found Jimmy Uso not guilty of a DUI this past Wednesday. Now, this stems back to an incident where Jonathan Fatu, that of course is his real name, was arrested in late July after testing for an unlawful blood alcohol level by local police. He was observed swerving in his vehicle, going 86 miles per hour in a 41 zone. And then the officer also testified that Fatu had a hard time opening the door and getting out of the vehicle. Let me restate, though. He was somehow found not guilty. With all those details, not guilty. There was no reason or rationale given for the verdict. as we go to break here, I just wanted to give you an update on what our schedule is over the holidays for Sunday night's main event. Next Sunday, December 29th, will be our best of 2019 edition of the show. And then on Sunday, January 5th, we'll have our worst of 2019 show. We're doing two separate episodes this year because it's going to be myself, Dan Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, Bartender Dave, and Mark Andrada, all of us live in studio giving you our picks. And as I mentioned in the news, by all means, you can be a part of it as well. If you are a Patreon, tomorrow is the last day to fill out the best and worst of 2019 survey. Check your inboxes right now. The link to the survey is in there. Or go to patreon.com/SNMEradio. There is a post there with the link to the survey. Fill it on out. The deadline for entries is the ending of Raw on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Once again, I'm sorry you can't see Lana's wedding before voting on the worst of. Also, round one of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament has been recorded. This year, we have 43 patrons playing, so I had to expand it to three divisions, plus the semifinalists from last year get byes into the second round. Yes, indeed, unlike WWE, I'm giving you a graphic to explain where all the seeds are. It is now located on our Facebook page, Instagram. I tweeted it out as well. It's a fun tournament this year. We have three divisions. One is the Rock and Wrestling Division. One is the Attitude Era Division. One is the Ruthless Aggression Division. And this week, I will be putting up three separate podcasts, one for each division. So the first one is coming out Christmas Day, the second the 28th, the third on New Year's Day. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. If you want them and you want to get into the survey, all of that, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And along with that, I'm putting up a Star Wars trivia show, a Christmas trivia show, a Dr. Mouth Christmas luncheon as well. There's going to be about 12 hours of content in this one holiday week, so it'll get you through all those family occasions. Just put the earphones in, and I'll keep you company. We're going to take a break and come back. I want to talk a little bit about AEW and what they're now not giving to fans. We'll do that next Sunday night's main event right here, TSN Radio.
Hey there, everybody. Dan the Mouth Lavransky here, and I have been asked to express a Christmas wish that I would like to see in the new year, in 2020, the new decade. What would I like to see in pro wrestling? Well, you know, there's two things I would like to see. First off, I want to find the guy that hangs out at the back of the arena and turns off the lights during wrestling shows. I want to know who this guy is. Who's paying this guy? Who's bribing him to turn off the lights? If you're backstage in an arena at a show and you see a guy by the light box or the fuse box, knock him out. Then the lights will stay on. And one other thing too, this is a little bit more serious. The thing I would really love to see professional wrestling do in this new decade, 2020, less is more. Please, we don't need 75 hours of wrestling a week. The thing about wrestling that was so great when I was young is that you had an hour on Saturday and that was it. And you waited all week with eager anticipation to watch that hour on Saturday. And it wasn't even top of the line matches. It was jobber matches. And I was still probably more excited for some of that when I was younger than anything nowadays. Less is more, ladies and gentlemen. Less is more.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Rhea Ripley using her head! Oh, Ripley no, now! Second turnbuckle!
Oh my God.
Ripley about to deliver! An avalanche! Riptide! The tide has turned! The tide has turned! Ah, yes!
As Evil Uno and Stu Grayson commanding this Dark Order!
Evil Uno's a bad man, let me tell you something.
He's got the reason I say that. He's in control. He's in control of these freaks.
The last 3 or 4 weeks, they've talked about joining Dark Order, and now we know why.
I told you this was an initiation.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Now, that was a combination of the culmination of this week's AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night War. And wow, I mean, what a difference it was. You can hear it right there. NXT main events with Rhea Ripley, who is white hot right now, taking on their most incredibly dominant champion that has set a record for longest cumulative reign in NXT history. While AEW has put out a bunch of unfit dudes that don't know how to throw a worked punch, who are in spandex and take out a bunch of their main stars. And as you heard, the live crowds reacted accordingly and appropriately. Now, over the past few months, there's been far too much talk about ratings, both people analyzing them and then others complaining about those people who analyzed them. And honestly, I think last week when the two programs tied in the ratings, that was a pretty appropriate way to look at things, because generally you have these two shows happening and they're splitting wrestling fans that are watching that night. And honestly, I'm going to bet, and I don't know this for the fact, but I'm going to bet the majority that are watching one program are probably watching the other one as well. This week, though, the ratings told a different tale. The average viewership of NXT was 795,000. The average viewership of AEW was 683,000. Now, granted, the impeachment also happened this week, so perhaps that affected the ratings. But there's a 100,000 viewers difference here. And to me, that was a clear-cut win. And more importantly, it was a direct result of what people saw on the two shows and then chose to watch. This took me back to a conversation I had a couple weeks back in the Triple Threat segment with Todd Martin. Todd had tweeted out the following. Tonally, NXT feels so much more like an alternative to Raw and SmackDown than AEW does. So I asked him what he meant, and this is what he said.
Well, I mean, when AEW started, I was concerned about some of the comedic aspects of the show, and of course, you know, just sort of curious about the way the booking was going.
Of course,
would go rather. In the early weeks of the show, those concerns to me were pretty much put aside. I thought the show was really clicking on all cylinders, heading into full gear. For the last few weeks, I feel like they've moved in the wrong direction. I've liked the Jericho segments. I think they've been enjoyable, but I think booking week after week after week your world champion to do just sort of goofy comedy segments where it really waters down the idea that people are going to have dramatic interest in someone else taking the title from him because he's so fun works against them. I think introducing Dark Order and the Bunny and the Blade and the Butcher and the dark, whatever
the Nightmare Family thing.
Yeah, the Nightmare Family, the Brandi Rhodes faction is. I think those acts are sort of wacky and WWE like, and then they're just sort of so many acts that are trading wins back and forth on the show that I watch AEW and it feels very much like WWE, where it's sort of like a potpourri approach to pro wrestling, where you just throw out a bunch of stuff. Whereas NXT, you watch it every week, and it's been a very, very consistent show. Like, it gives you good wrestling. It gives you serious angles. There's never anything stupid on the show. It's presented as something that's important. The wins and losses matter. It feels much more like what I think a lot of people want pro wrestling to be more like. It feels like more of a genuine alternative and more of a cohesive vision.
And you know, at the time, I wasn't fully on board. But after this week, I get it. In the past, I've repeatedly said AEW is very good at taking into account fan feedback and trying to give fans what they want. Now, I'm not saying to be a slave to your audience, because let's face it, you can't make everyone happy. But trying to please the majority is something that every wrestling company, actually, you know what? Every company, period, should strive to do. So to take a phrase from WWE, really, it's best for business. And what we saw on Wednesday night was not best for business. For AEW. Sure, there was some good parts. The Jericho Jungle Boy angle was executed very well, and the slow burn on the Hangman Page heel turn and eventually program with Kenny Omega seems to be progressing nicely. There were a lot more misses than there were hits on this past show. Now, granted, I do realize I've never been a fan of the Dark Order. I've always said that they're a team that is caught between two gimmicks. But, you know, recently I have enjoyed some of the vignettes and thought that they may be progressing along. But they're not supposed to be injected into the main event angle. What world is this? And for the love of God, why can't we at least, at minimum, AEW, get matching spandex outfits and matching colored masks for all the creepers across the board? If they're a unit, it doesn't make sense that they don't match. These guys look terrible. Absolutely, they look worse than henchmen in the 1960s Batman series. At least they had matching costumes. So you take that finish of the episode, plus more of Brandy's Nightmare Collective and an alien that touches people's noses to communicate. I mean, if I gave you that description of those three angles, you'd probably think I was talking about some awful WWE programming, if not TNA, or talking about something that happened in WCW back in the day. Which is the exact opposite of what AEW should be aiming for. So as we roll into 2020, let's face it, the jury's still out about this show. It's not that everything AEW touches turns to gold. I mean, everything Chris Jericho touches seems to turn to gold, but there's more people in this company than just Chris Jericho. And there's more angles, and there's more programs. They're going to make their mistakes. They've got some leeway from fans. But it is very important to not lose sight of the fact that at one point, they just seemed to be trying to give wrestling fans what they want. And really, that was the company's most attractive quality. So they can't lose that. We're going to take a break. When we come on back, it is the Triple Threat time. We'll dive into AEW this week. We'll dive into NXT this week, and we'll do so with Mike Sempervivi and Larry Zonka. That's coming up next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Oh, hello, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. I'm Mark Andrada, and my Christmas wish is for the WWE to put out one storyline that makes sense on the main roster. Just one storyline. That's all I ask. Something that has a beginning, middle, and end. Something that doesn't fall apart partway through. Something that gets finished. Something that gets started and finished. That's my Christmas wish.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday Night's Main Event, welcoming two other journalists to the program. First of all, he's the co-host of Wrestling Observer Live daily at 3 p.m. on Sports Byline from the Wrestling Observer family of wrestling reporters, Mike Sempervivi. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be back.
Well, thanks for coming on, and you are joined this week by one of my favorite wrestling TV reviewers. He's from 411mania.com, the host of the 411 on Wrestling Podcast, Larry Zonka. How you doing, Larry?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. And listen, obviously the most exciting part of every week if you're a wrestling fan right now is the Wednesday Night War. So let's start there. I mean, this week we actually had a clear winner, and surprisingly it was NXT. Now, I'd say, though, guys, after watching the two shows, I think fans consciously made the choice to switch the channel because of the direction of programming that was taken on AEW that involved aliens and creepers. Mike, I know you're a bit of a wrestling purist. What do you think about the direction that AEW seems to be headed with some of these angles?
Well, I think, you know, as we look back not only to Wednesday, but to the week prior to that, when they had a lot of push for Brandy, and they had the push for the Dark Order, where they had a couple of things going on there at the same time that all seemed to kind of feel like each other, and they felt like they were trying to move a lot of things forward. And obviously you want to move a lot of things forward on your show. You got 2 hours, you're a new company, you got a bunch of people that you want to establish out there, but everything kind of felt like kind of mushed together. And then we get to this week where one of those things, the Dark Order, one thing that they've been trying to push from day one that has been maligned at times from the fan base and has not been something that has caught fire whatsoever, is the most overriding presence on the show. And not only is it the most overriding presence on the show, it ends the show by leaving everyone on the money-making side of the roster beaten down. Not just the Young Bucks. Not just one Cody Rhodes. You know, everybody got beaten down. And it just felt wrong. Now, I don't think that that had necessarily an effect exactly on the rating, and I'd have to go back and look at the breakdowns of everything, you know, more close together. But I just think that more than anything that's on the show right now, NXT just feels more like the thing, and that happened with all the push with coming out of the Survivor Series. But they're also putting on things that I think AEW is missing out on, which is just sometimes hyping a wrestling match and going through with it, like a Leo Rush and a Garza or something like that.
That's a valid point, because I think what a lot of people are looking for is the alternative to WWE, not a cheap imitation. We've seen that before as wrestling fans in the past. Impact tried to do it. And initially, you know, AEW with their using records, having more of a sporting feel, I thought they were headed that direction. But Larry, as of late, I haven't seen that. And another thing I haven't seen is AEW reading their fan base and correcting themselves. Previous to these latest incarnations, they had been pretty good about that. Not this time, though.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. I mean, I agree with what Mike was saying, too. There's a lot of problems if you dig into it. It's not just that the Dark Order's not over. It's not just that the Dark Order, as Mike said, beat down the money portion of the roster and stuff. Because on one hand, let me get this out there, I appreciate that they're trying to make new stars. I like what they've done with like Darby Allin and the Jungle Boy and stuff like that, because you have to make stars. And they're in a process, and again, they're only 12 weeks old. You have to make a lot of stars. But on the other hand, there are also guys on this roster that do have a fan base and that do have star power, as in like the Young Bucks and the Kenny Omega. And it's lovely that Cody and Jericho and Moxley are being booked like stars. But you're also hurting everything else by trying to make too many stars, and as one of my writers wrote this week, not letting the elite be elite.
Hey, that's a great point.
And that becomes problematic. And the other thing I found on the show this week, which has become symptomatic, is this is also a double-edged sword, is I love the pacing and feel of Dynamite, because I never look at the clock during the show and go, oh, it's only 9 o'clock. Like, I still have an hour to go. Like, when it's Raw and it's 9:20, and I'm like, are you kidding me? But while that's great, on the other hand, I also think there needs to be some editing and pruning, for lack of a better word, because I also think that while the pace and enthusiasm is spectacular, you also have to allow time for things to settle in and for the audience to digest things. And I also don't think that's happening, which also I think hurts the show a little bit.
Yeah, I actually want to step back and look at the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, because you brought them up there. And yes, they're stars to a certain fan base, but part of the deal that I've always said with being on mainstream television is you have to educate the new fan base to who your stars are. And Mike, right now, if I'm a new fan watching the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they're not special to me.
Yeah, you know, they haven't been felt like they're at a different type of level, and I don't know why exactly that is. I know in the case of the Young Bucks, it's the fact that they have so many L's. I think that's by putting so many people over, even though the matches have been spectacular. I think that to people that are watching that were WWE fans who may not have necessarily known and traveled with the Young Bucks through ROH and through PWG and all that sort of stuff, I mean, they may not stand out. You know, I have a feeling a team like LAX, if you just saw both of those teams for the first time cold,
I have a feeling LAX might be the team that would get over more, and I think Private Party is that way too. So I think that does affect them a little bit. I think with Kenny Omega, I don't know what else they could really do. I mean, other than the Chris Jericho Kenny Omega match, you know, I don't know what else you could possibly do to kind of put him over anymore, other than, you know, tweak how he is, you know, tweak his wins and things like that. I mean, you could, you know, push him and just mash him over everybody, and then he would be over. But I mean, I think you can do some tweaks that way. But I think that they have tried to portray him, I think, at the top level and at the top of the card. I think him and Moxley both, I just think that Omega is a much cooler, you know, and I mean cooler, I mean colder character right now, whereas a Moxley, a Darby Allin, and many of the other characters they have, including, you know, his equal on the roster and on the management team, Cody Rhodes, you know, is at a higher level right now. And they're going to have to tweak him a little bit. And obviously, you know, wins matter and things like that. But, I mean, you know, I don't think they're the end-all and be-all. I just think they have to figure out a way to make him a more relatable figure to more of their fan base. And I think this is going to be a problem. And I'm just going to piggyback on something that Larry was talking about, too, as far as you're trying to reach you got 31 flavors, you know, and you're trying to appease to everybody. And the reality of the situation is when you're trying to do that, you're going to have issues at times, and you're going to have a little bit of everything on the show. You're always going to have somebody that's going to call it out and you know, be annoyed by it or not get it or whatever it is as they wait for their stuff. You know, it's funny how many people will watch AEW and they don't like this, they don't like that, but they like Cody's thing. Mm-hmm. Or they don't like this, they don't like that, but they really like Darby Allin, or they really like Joey Janela, whereas, you know, somebody else may be driven nuts by them. It's tough for them to have an identity when they're trying to reach out to so many people, and then being new, they're just going to have to try to, you know, maintain and try to figure all of this stuff out. And right now, they just don't seem to be doing, you know, a very good job of it, especially when it comes to the Dark Order.
Well, you're kind of explaining trying to be a generalist niche product, which can be troubling because you can't make everyone happy. But Larry, let me throw it to you. I mean, yeah, right now they are trying to give everyone something. Do you think that's a wise move for AEW to continue doing, or do they just have to, you know, focus on the hardcore fans and hope other people come along?
I think you need to pick a path and you need to stick with it. And I think that you need to bank on guys that have been proven as not only reliable performers, but potential stars, you know, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega and stuff. And another thing to go with the Kenny Omega thing is part of the problem is they're, for lack of a better term, they're using two different timelines with Kenny Omega, because they're telling the story of Kenny Omega on TV, but then at times on commentary, Excalibur is trying to talk about stuff that's going on and being the elite.
Right.
And okay, that's fine that they're trying to develop a talent thing on being the elite and the character there, but you cannot rely on your audience to know what being the elite is, to expect them to invest 15 to 20 minutes into being the elite is to get whatever the Kenny Omega story is that week, just as you can't assume everybody is watching AEW Dark. There's stuff that happens on Dark, and like they'll run some really great video package stuff on Dark, and that stuff never makes the day of light on Dynamite. So you can't assume that people are watching Dark every week, because that's not the case.
Yeah, it's basically if you tune into Dynamite, you have to be entertained and understand everything that happens just via watching that one show. All right, we're slightly down on AEW, but of course, they stand up against NXT each week. And NXT this week delivered what was a very entertaining show. They pulled the trigger on Rhea Ripley winning the title on a TV show, as opposed to waiting till the World's Collide special. Mike, was it the right time?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm absolutely good with it. I think the way that the things were kind of going, this was a perfect time for everything to come to a head. I think the 15-minute teaser they did for it, I forget the proper name of the program that was on the WWE Network that teased the match. I thought that 24/7 type of thing they did came out perfectly. And I think it was just a good time because it was, again, that's the one thing that NXT and the WWE can do is they can always just throw complete fire at AEW week after week. And their plan this week was, we're going to bookend this show. We're going to just completely, you know, lay a heavy punch on you. We're not even just going to start it hot and just let it trail. No, we're going to, you know, just hit them on both sides of everything and have an overrun. And they did a great job with it. And with that overrun, you get Rhea Ripley standing up there, conquering Shayna Baszler, which,
it's how it should be. You know, it's like, you know, if Rhea Ripley didn't come along, it's like, okay, who would be the person to beat Shayna Baszler? This is the perfect time. And this is now the perfect time, hopefully, that you can start transitioning Shayna Baszler and have her show up at the Royal Rumble and have her do something on the main roster, because I don't know what else that woman could do down there. I think it's time for her to come up, and I'm excited to see her prospects up on the main roster. And this is just Rhea Ripley's time now, so she can start to focus on whatever it's going to be for her, because I think you want to get her in a position also by the time WrestleMania rolls around where, you know, she's going to be a feature. She's going to be around for a long, long time. And different situation, because NXT can always throw fire with the women. You know, with AEW, their women's roster is so much better than AEW's, it's not even funny. And that's not an insult other than they're very inexperienced. And I think, you know, Chris Statlander and Britt Baker are two future stars of that company, but the divide between them and your Io Shirai's, let alone your Rhea Ripley's of the world, are quite vast. So, but with that said, you look at a Chris Statlander, I know everybody's on the alien gimmick, and I get that, but there are reasons to be very positive, but it's just to try to compare the two, you know, week after week, anybody that tries to do that, it's just completely unfair.
Well, that's generally what we do here on all of our shows is compare on Wednesday nights. And it is unfair because, you know, that NXT women's division is incredibly strong. So, Larry, I want to throw it at you. I mean, obviously, Rhea Ripley winning the title, huge ovation. Was it the right time? And more importantly, what do you do next with Shayna? Because in my opinion, she's winning the Royal Rumble and then going to face Becky at WrestleMania.
I mean, Rhea winning the title, absolutely the right call. I talked about it for a couple weeks coming out of Survivor Series. I had no problem with it being on TV because, first of all, the thing is she had a ton of momentum coming out of Survivor Series week. I mean, she beats Charlotte. She wins War Games. She wins at Survivor Series. You have to go with that. You have to roll with that. There was no way on God's green earth that you could extend this feud out until the takeover in February or even the Worlds Collide, which really wouldn't have made sense since they're doing NXT versus NXT on that show anyway.
Well, don't you think that if Rhea could represent the NXT UK brand and against Shayna, I actually think that would have worked out kind of nice as the main event there. And I actually kind of still expect it.
I mean, yeah, you can in theory do that and I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with it, but I'm just talking about holding out the win until then. I think you made... You needed to do it now, and the thing is, you're still in Full Sail with these shows. Rhea Ripley is over, huge in Full Sail, and my friend and I, Jeremy, we talked about it on the show, and we said if she wins in Full Sail and they do it in the main event, it's going to get over huge. There's going to be a big celebration, and that's what happened, because not only did she win, she got over big, and they had that big celebration. It actually felt like a big moment. And it came off as even more important than it might have at a takeover. Because I'm sure she would have got a good ovation at a takeover. But that Full Sail crowd is such a small crowd that has seen all these people in NXT for so long. And they follow them and they love to support them. That you're going to get a bigger reaction even though there's less people than in a bigger arena. So I had no problem with that. And like you guys said, yeah, I expect Shayna to eventually move on. I think it makes sense. There's no confirmation, despite a lot of rumor, that Ronda's ever coming back.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of talk that she might. I'm sure, you know, Paul Heyman sees a lot of the same stuff in Shayna that he does in Ronda, kind of the MMA badass type thing. So I think that he'll try to do a lot. I think that you can do a lot of good things with her and Becky. And, I think it's a good move for all because, as Mike said, Shayna has done everything in NXT. She had a long title run. She had multiple title runs. She was built as a star. And the other thing, too, to consider is Shayna, and I'm not, you know, people get upset when you bring this up, Shayna's not getting any younger.
Oh, I'm sorry, Larry. I just want to throw this in there about you talk about who you might see at WrestleMania. I think Larry said it. I think it's actually going to be, in my opinion, as it stands right now, I could actually see a main, you know, not a main event, but at least see one of the main events be Shayna Baszler, possibly with Ronda in her corner with the rest of the horsewomen against Becky Lynch with Jessica Carr being the referee for that match. And I could actually see that being on there and basically Paul Heyman, you know, in having it in a way where the singles match you wanted to see with Ronda last year, you may not get to see this year, but you're going to get as close to it as you can with she and Shayna Baszler. And I don't know what that leaves for, but it can leave Toni Storm, you know, for coming over from NXT UK or winning that belt and then going to face Rhea Ripley. And to me, they shouldn't have, you know, multiple belts. These people should be able to move back and forth. I think you're overloaded down with titles in that company, the same way you are with loaded down with titles on NWA Power.
No, Mike, we need a TV title.
But it's like to merge those things together, to merge those belts together.
Oh, man.
To have, and I'm sorry for Kaylee Ray, to have Tony beat Kaylee Ray, and to have a rematch of their match at the Mae Young at WrestleMania, I think would be fantastic.
All right, guys, let's leave Wednesday night alone here and talk about the bookending of Raw and SmackDown, the garbage bookending that we seem to get every week. This week, SmackDown, Miz and Daniel Bryan, they're supposed to be two of the top babyfaces on the show. And if you remember back to when, you know, I don't praise the Attitude Era like most people do because it had a whole bunch of faults. But the one thing that can be said about it was that it was seen by people in like at the university age as being cool and being something to watch. And I'm watching SmackDown and I'm just thinking, Miz and Daniel Bryan, two of your leading baby faces, they're dads. I mean, I used to get on the old Roderick Strong character for just being a dad. Being a dad is great, but to me, it does hurt in appealing to a younger demographic, which WWE is so desperately craving right now because they're getting older and older. I know both of you guys are dads, but do you see an issue here in regards to the way Miz and Daniel Bryan are being pushed in this particular angle? We'll start with you, Larry.
I think you bring up a good point because it may alienate a younger viewership, but I also think that to a point you also have to, yeah, it's 2019, December 2020. You can't shy away from what these guys actually are, because if you just ignore the fact that they're dads, when we've seen Monroe on Miz and Mrs. and we've seen Birdie on Total Bellas or whatever the two shows are, I mean, you can't shy away from it. So at the same time, it's like you just got to play to what it is and hope it works out. And on some level, it should get more people invested, but you may alienate the younger audience. But the thing is, I don't think that that is what you should worry about as far as alienating a younger audience. I just think the bad programming is what alienates the younger audience that doesn't find the show to be cool at all.
It's definitely not cool. You know, but here's the thing. If you look back to that earlier era that I was talking about, Steve Austin encapsulated the blue-collar working man that got to kick his boss's ass. So, Mike, what do Miz and Daniel Bryan give me and living vicariously through them?
Well, when it comes to the Miz, it gives you the, you know, antithesis of what you want to be in life. You
okay.
know, you stand there
yep.
like a... And, man, I got to catch myself. I almost had to mute myself there. What a coward stands there and lets his wife run into the room to save the baby. I mean, just everything about that. And then they have the match. And it's like, come on, give me a break. You know, Leo Rush was more upset that, you know, Angel Garza took his pants off in front of his woman than some demon trying to kill and take his baby or cause havoc inside the man's house. I mean, and that's the biggest problem with these angles when they do them. You know, and that's the biggest issue. I knew Dusty Rhodes was a father. Like, he would talk about it in his interviews, but at least he went out there and whipped ass with, like, people. And that's the thing. You need to have younger guys. You need to have younger characters for people to latch on to. But you also, people forget that, like, Randy Orton's a dad when he's RKO'ing somebody out of nowhere or he's punching somebody in the face. And that's the thing. It's like, it's the stories. It's the believability. It's the investment in these characters that you don't have. Instead, what you're left with is stuff like you have with, I mean, Daniel Bryan can overcome almost anything. So he's not really the case here. But you look at The Miz and it's like, you know, he plays his role great into what they want him to be. But the reality is it's not, you know, it's hard not to make fun of the guy and laugh at it and see everything is just cheesy nonsense, which unfortunately they are long on that and low on entertainment.
Let's flip over to Raw before we say goodbye. And viewers on Monday night got to sit through a 50-minute gauntlet match to end up with no finish and then have Seth Rollins sneak into the match next week. Yes, it was a waste of time, but Larry, do you think this was done simply to get Seth heat, which may have turned into hate?
It probably was, and I know it was also done to get heat on Andrade. But here's the thing with me. Do not put on a 50-minute wrestling match
claiming that the winner will get a title shot and give me no winner and waste my time. That is how you alienate me as a viewer and as a fan. That angered me to no degree. I cannot explain how angry I was at the end of that. And people were upset with me because I was so down on that in the show. It's like, I'm sorry, don't waste my time. I understand it's the holidays. I understand they try to load some extra wrestling on because they don't want to do anything else. And they put no effort into the holiday era shows, and they're taping two times in one night. And I also got the, oh, but they had to tape two shows. Whose fault is that? I didn't book two shows in one night. I don't know. Maybe use your alleged creative team to do something better. Don't waste my time with 50-minute stuff like that. Horrible. Hated it. Yeah, WWE's penchant for putting heat on things. I know Mike hears about that every day as Brian Alvarez rants on heat.
Yep.
On the shows. Yeah, that's probably what they were doing. It didn't make me care. I was like, yay, Seth versus Ray. It'll probably be good and end up overbooked, and I won't care about that either.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, Larry, and Mike, I'll throw this to you. I mean, yes, as we can tell, the heat went to hate for you, Larry, and to many people watching. And along with that, if you look at the genesis of this angle, I actually liked Seth going after Ray because Ray gave Owens the pipe. That made sense to me. But coming after that long match and attaching it to that angle put a real, really knock the shine off what they were doing with a decent storyline, Mike.
With Humberto Carrillo just getting stretchered out like a geek as the AOP and Seth Rollins walk by on their way out the door. And
I'm used to that.
Let me just throw this out there. They already got paid by USA, so I don't know why they can't do it. They got all this programming on 24/7 that's actually great, you know, on the network that nobody ever sees. Like, you could do a taped show with that and a whole bunch of matches that nobody watches because they're on 205 Live and everywhere else, and you can make that and package that up for a show on Monday. You could have done that, but they don't do that. They go and they tape two shows, and they spend too much time worrying about Bobby Lashley and Rusev and Lana and how that's going to work out. And instead of keeping their eyes on the prize and realizing that a 50-minute, you know, as Larry said, I mean, it's going to piss people off. And because they just didn't think. They put it out there and figured, okay, them coming out there and getting good heat on Mysterio with the pipe and all that stuff, paying that back, that's all going to work out. And they weren't thinking. And they weren't thinking at all. And the people that they're most down to is their hardest of the hardcore. And now you're pissing them off even more for investing 3 hours into your stupid product. And that's why they went down to 1.89 million people in the third hour, because there's no reason to invest in it. If you miss the show, then you can either just catch it on the DVR or hear if it's going to be any good. Hear Dave and Brian talk about it. Hear Larry talk about it. Hear you talk about it and see if it's going to be any good. And at the worst, you can just watch the videos that they put out online and catch the 10-minute, 15-minute wrap-up and not invest 3 hours, and then not have to worry about seeing any of this crap. And that's unfortunately what they keep doing with people. They've got to stop that. They've got to stop hurting the people that are still left and having those people turn off or lose interest even more and try to reach out. Because this Lana thing, I know it gets eyeballs, and I know there are some people that absolutely love it. But the reality of the situation is people always love seeing that Buffalo Bills fan get drunk and fall down. You know what I mean? Like, people will always stop to see a car wreck, but what's going to keep them holding on? What's going to keep them invested so when the car wreck is all cleaned up, they decide to stick around?
All righty. I feel as though all three of us got a little fired up here. Let's end and do one fun thing.
The airing of the grievances.
Yes. It's happy Festivus, everyone. But let's do Christmas for our final bit. Throughout the show today, I'm sprinkling in a bunch of different Christmas wishes, wrestling Christmas wishes. So I'll give you a second to think about this. But gentlemen, if you had one wrestling Christmas wish that you could ask Santa for, what would it be for next year or going forward? Who wants to go first? Who's got one?
I guess I'll go ahead.
Okay, so Mike, go right ahead. You start us off.
I think what I would ask Wrestling Santa for and the wrestling gods for would just be a little bit of clarity, a little bit of calm when it comes to presentation of product. You know, I was not big on seeing things like records, because, you know, you can have 50 losses in wrestling. You'd be 0-50. You know, what does it really mean as long as you're over, as long as you're doing awesome things? And AEW, there's little hints here and there of what they kind of could be. Even with all the wacky characters and everything, there's always been wacky characters in wrestling. Just give me good, honest, meat and potato storylines that I can sink my teeth into. Good battles, you know, good versus evil. You know, very simplistic black and white things. Give me a reason to watch these two people in the ring. Don't let it just be moves. I don't need to see all of the moves all of the time. I keep seeing all of the moves. I'm impressed with all of the moves. You know, I'm also impressed with being heavily emotionally invested into what I'm watching and forgetting about the fact that it's wacky pro wrestling and being involved in the great things that brought a lot of us into pro wrestling in the first place. And NXT, you know, the same way with them, you know, with WWE, with Raw and with SmackDown, it may be a bridge too far. So I'm not even going to worry about them. I'm just going to worry about AEW and Wednesday and NXT right now, because they kind of are my hope for wrestling. And as it stands right now, just the simpler you can make things and the easier you can make them, it's two half-naked people getting busy on a canvas mat. And they're either doing it because they have a personal issue with each other, or they're doing it for money and they're for titles. In the sport of everything, it doesn't have to be any more difficult than that sometimes. Let that be your base. Let the tree kind of grow from there. But don't get away from what it was. And that's what I want back.
All right. So Mike is trading in the cranberry sauce and candy canes for just turkey and potatoes. Larry, what do you got?
Proper motivation. I want proper motivation from every wrestling company on this planet, because nobody is perfect. WWE is not perfect. New Japan, AEW, even NXT, Impact, ROH, everything is not perfect. I want people to have proper motivation. I want motivation to put on good stories. I want motivation to not waste the time of fans. I want motivation not to be lazy. I would say I'd give my left leg, but I already did, for WWE not to open a show with a promo every week. It is the laziest thing on the planet Earth. I want New Japan to actually have motivation to do a proper tag team division. Scrap the two tag team divisions, do one open weight tag team division, and make it actually worth something. How are Jado and Gato, 30 years this business, incapable of booking a proper tag team division when they were tag team specialists? Stuff like that. I just want proper motivation. I want the people behind these companies to actually not just care about what they're putting on TV, pay-per-view, live events. I want them to care about the people that are going to invest their time into it. Give the best product possible. That's all I want. I'm not asking for it to be driven strictly towards me. I don't need a show to be perfectly towards my taste. I just want it to make sense, make me care, and not waste my time. So motivation for everybody around the horn.
Larry Zonka, Mike Sempervivi, I thank you both for joining me today. Have a great Christmas and New Year, guys, and I hope to speak to you in the new year.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
You can follow Mike Sempervivi at Sempervivi, and Larry Zonka, you can find him at LarryZonka411 on Twitter. Those guys are reporting on wrestling all week long, every week, because unlike most sports, wrestling does not have an off-season. We're going to continue on here on the show a whole nother hour for you. Coming up next, Dave Meltzer. We got a new game in Turnbuckle Trivia. That is going to be fascinating. And along with that, lots of your Christmas wishes and Bartender Dave still to come right here. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
I make toys, but I've got aspirations.
Happy holidays, party people. This is Le Six Pack Champion, Joe Aguinaldo, one half of All Elite Wrestling Weekly, and I'm here to give you my Christmas wish for 2020. Number one, I really hope that all the wrestling companies, whether it's WWE, AEW, NXT, ROH, New Japan, etc., really figure out creatively how to start growing their audience. There's a lot of really good wrestling out there on TV right now, but not a lot of people are watching, and I'd really like to see wrestling come back into some sort of prominence, but that really comes down to creative and building new stars, so hopefully someone can figure that out. And second and more importantly, I really just want to wish you and your families a safe and happy holiday season, and we'll catch you in 2020. Tough guy.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full two-hour show, commercial-free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.